You guys want to get up and stretch at all? Ugh. All right. I know this is a lot. You need a hamburger? We'll get... And I forgot, thanks to Greg for going and getting my teaching, because I actually left it at home. Yeah, you guys sit down. Let's go ahead and start. This week, I said we're going to kind of tie it in a little bit to what that thing, the video was in Genesis. And remember last week we talked about wisdom and what it was to be wise, how so many people missed Christ because of their pride and arrogance. We talked about stumbling blocks and how we put those in our own way. And we finished with, what do we do with wisdom? So many times we accept the grace that God gives us, but are unwilling to give it to others. And that's hard, isn't it? I mean, we deal with that all the time. But we have to share what we received, both in words and in action. This week, Paul's going to make it even easier as he breaks down how to present the gospel message to an unbeliever. Even some believers that have muddied up their spiritual waters may need this as well. So remember from last week, wisdom is in simplicity. Paul is going to go through four quick points, so watch for him as we read. He's going to talk about simple speech. He's going to talk about simple humility, simple demonstration, and simple faith. Let's stand up again. We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is going to be really short. We're going to go, I've seen pastors pull out like a four-point sermon out of the word stop or something like that. I did it out of five verses. That's pretty good. And I... when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. You guys may be seated. In the very first sentence, Paul tells you a couple of key ingredients to a good discussion with anyone you are talking to about God. First, that his point in talking to them was to present a testimony. Second, he wanted to do it with simple speech. What's that mean? First, we need to understand that Paul is talking about the gospel here. Paul went into Corinth, and he did with all the cities, like he did with all the cities that he went to on his missionary journeys. He went in there to proclaim Christ. Remember from a few weeks ago that there were three key ingredients when sharing a testimony with somebody. And those are important because the testimony of God is the effect that Jesus Christ has in our lives. The life-changing work of the cross is the testimony, and the best way to explain that to unbelievers is to walk them through those three points. You guys remember what those were? It's to tell them where you were. It's to tell them that moment that you met Christ. And then it's to tell them how that moment changed everything for you. Okay? So that is how you share a testimony, because people need to know the open honesty that you are where you're at now because of where you were then. That's the only way that the people are going to understand it. People need to know that they aren't weird. We all have moments where we go through these things. And you know what? Here's the reality of it. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. Their sins may be different. Their road much, it may be harder. It may be a lot more difficult. But Christ can meet them the same way that he met you. And only the only way people are ever going to listen to you is in simple speech. Paul says here that he didn't use lofty speech or wisdom. Why? He was trained by the best of the best. Out of all of the super cool big words that Paul probably knew, that he could wow them with, he could talk about atonement, sanctification. He could explain propitiation or eschatology. Would those words have drawn you to ask more questions when you didn't know anything? So does that work? No. So Paul used simple speech. What is that? Remember, last time we talked about the wisdom of simplicity. It's just that. Paul made the gospel message understandable. There are so many times we talk, people, think about this. There are so many times we talk people out of Christianity by making it so complicated. Do you guys realize that? I just had a discussion with a friend of mine who is 100% totally King James Version only. Okay? Those discussions absolutely drive me crazy. First of all, the argument that King James Version only is the only authoritative version is asinine. It's not true. Second, it's the hardest version out of any of them to read. So if I have a new believer and I hand them that and the these and thous and thuses and you're reading the Queen's English from the 1500s, who's going to understand that as a baby Christian? We literally go, here, take this Bible. You're not going to understand it, but read it. And it's going to draw you closer to God. No, it's not. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't study, and I'm not saying the King James Version is bad. I am saying that it's not what I would hand to a new believer to try and get them to understand. Amen. It's just going to be more complicated for them. It's going to frustrate them. The same is what we talked about last week. It's kind of the same idea as giving them a whole bunch of rules to follow. You guys understand, we talked about this before. The Levitical law, there were 613 laws to follow. The rabbinical laws added over thousands more, okay? And those were the fence laws to kind of keep people away from following the 613 laws. You put up all these other fence laws so that you don't do the things that would make you break the 613. The Corinthians would be familiar with all of those laws. Not that they adhered to them, but there was Jewish people that lived in the area, so they would understand that they adhered to these things. So think about America today. Think about this. Do you guys know how many laws there are in America? Do you know? Google it. Do you know what the answer is? Nobody knows. There are so many laws that they don't actually know how many laws there are. So let's look at this. There are a minimum of 5,000 federal criminal laws, and depending on how the authorities look at it, there are between 10,000 and 300,000 regulations that can be enforced criminally. That's just federal law. So you get into tack on your state, your township, your city, all these other laws that you have. I probably have already broken three of them just talking about this. So we thought 613 was bad. Now, there is a difference between moral law and the other, you know, like constitutional law and things like that. But just an aside, I want you guys to think about this. The Second Amendment, in the Constitution says, our right to bear arms shall not be infringed, right? It's pretty clear. It's open. It's right there. Do you know that there are over 20,000 laws regulating guns? So just like the framers of our Constitution did not want this insanity created, God did not want the rabbis to add to the law either. Just like God did not want the rabbis to add to the law, Jesus does not want us adding to it. So, all it will ever do is drive people away from Christ. That's all it's ever going to do. When we present the gospel, it has to be about the love of Christ, not about the laws of men. So many religions make rules and bylaws their people must follow and adhere to. When they fail, you know what happens? They leave because they don't want the chastisement of the people in the church that they're in. So it's just easier to go. It's not about the gospel, it's about the church in that case, right? And that's not what it's about. I've said this before, the church drives more people away from the church than anyone else. Amen. And it's because they make the gospel complicated. Wisdom, remember from last week, is the faith of a child. Simple, honest. Now, as we grow, we receive meat. And we learn more as we go through this big Christian-y word, the sanctification process. As we become more Christ-like, as we grow in our faith, we get more. But you know what we do as a church? Oh, hey, well, you just gave your life to Christ. We throw T-bones at these babies with no teeth. And we wonder why they leave. So the reason is they're not ready yet. We shovel religion on them, but they're not ready. Yes, and you know what? There are some who have been in the churches for decades, and they're still not ready for me. Now, that's easily remedied by giving them the milk that they need, the proper milk, and you raise them up to where they're in a place where they can receive it. But I have watched in a mega church that I was at, people sit there for, seriously, I was there 14, 15 years. I watched people be there 14, 15 years, didn't know anything, literally did not know anything. So here's something that we have to be very careful though. We are all, every single person in this room, we are all on different walks. Right. We are all in different places. Okay? We need to be taught where we are. You know what? This is one of the things that I really love about small group environments. Because people who are in like places with their walk can learn together. I think there should be lots of small groups in churches so that people can help each other. They normally need a leader to help them, but they grow much better in a small... This, I love our Bible study night. Amen. Because we're all learning stuff together at the same place. And I always try and make that so it's not this lofty thing that it's simple. We keep it simple. We're going through Mark and we're just learning through Mark. Let's say one day you decided that you were going to run a marathon. Okay? Up until this point, the furthest that you'd ever run was to the refrigerator at halftime. So as a pastor, I tell you tomorrow, I want you to run as fast as you can for 26.19 miles every day for the next month because you have to get ready for this marathon, right? So let me show you how that looks. Day one, You make it about 250 yards and you fall over. Okay? Day two, you try again. You're probably going to make it 300 yards. You're going slower, but you're going to make it three. Day three, your muscles hurt too much. Day four, you realize you can't do it and you give up. That is what we do to baby Christians. We do it all the time. We run them out by helping them the wrong way. We have to start them off slowly and build their endurance up. So what we do today, think about this. The new baby Christian's standing there, and you let go. Tries to take a step and he falls, right? Most of you in here have children. You've seen it. What is this thing doing? Most of you in here have children. You've done it. So you pick the baby up and you try again. And he does that little thing with his chubby little legs. After three or four times, this baby's not going to get it. And you walk away. Right? Isn't that what you all do? It's what we do with Christians. That's literally what we do with Christians. Oh, they're not going to get it. They don't understand this. It's laying on the floor, crying, and you just walk away frustrated. Simple humility, which is our next point, says, I fell down 1,000 times, and there was somebody there to help me. Amen. I smacked my chin on the coffee table. My knees were scraped. This kid needs help. You see it through the eyes of the baby Christian. The third point is the simple demonstration. When you talk with people, let me ask you guys this. This is an important question here. When you talk with people, do you typically quote pages from your favorite book on systematic theology? Isn't that how you win somebody to Christ? You show them your vast knowledge of Scripture and wow them with your superpower of spiritualness?
Preach.
There's my cape.
Preach, Pastor.
Paul said this, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So I know a lot of you have children, and the scariest thing in the world is having a 6-pound baby in your arms for the first time and knowing it's your job to raise it. I have a fear and trembling every week that I'm up here because I take very seriously my responsibility to divide the word of truth and present it to you in a way that makes sense and that you understand it. I've said it 100 times that it's not my job to walk your walk for you. But it is my job to be a spiritual leader here, to help us to all learn and grow in wisdom and the love of Christ. That's exactly what Paul is saying. He's going through. James 3:1 says that the pastors, the leaders, get judged more harshly. And that's scary. That's scary to me. But the reason that it is because it's a big responsibility. The way to make that less scary is to make the demonstration simple. I keep harping on this, but if I ever walk around carrying open Bibles and I never have time for anyone to discuss anything, because I'm too busy studying or anything like that, am I exampling God's love?
No.
I'm showing that I'm smart, or at least I look that way. Look, I got glasses. I actually do need these. Do you know how many people walk away because they feel that they can't measure up? I've seen it so many times. Why? Because the person doing it has to look good, right? Does our ego please God? No. Showing love to someone who doesn't understand it does. How does the saying go? Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. that is demonstrated and it's not told. Amen. Something else I want you to think about. This is really important when we talk with other people and how we deal with things. Jesus almost always taught in parables, right? What is a parable? A parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. Why did Jesus teach that way? Stories are simple, and they demonstrate something to make a point. Stories are relatable to us all because we've all been there or seen that or understand what that would have meant in the life of those people that he was teaching the story to. Jesus did not, listen carefully. As I always love this, people always say, well, in this verse it says this, in this verse it says this, and you should know this verse and this verse and this verse. Do you know that Jesus hardly ever quoted Scripture? Hardly ever. Do you know when Jesus quoted Scripture? To the Pharisees. That's when Jesus quoted Scripture. Jesus, he didn't do Scripture because he wanted to teach them basic principles. They had to be taught how to crawl and then walk and then they run. The only Scripture that he taught, really, was he quoted Scripture to the Pharisees, and it was always to rebuke them. Because they didn't understand what they were reading. They were making it complicated for people, and they were making it all about religion, not about what the idea was. So we demonstrate in another way, and that's by how we live our lives. That one's scary to everyone. We can talk to people until we're blue in the face about God. But if they don't see us living, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. We can be praising God on Sunday and living like we don't know Him the other 6 days. And you know what? People see it. Christians are a witness for God whether they like it or not. You know what? I know that I've been in places in my life where I have absolutely ruined the witness of God. I have. And I think if you haven't been, you're lying. I'm not saying that we have to be perfect. I'm not at all. And please do not get that from what I'm saying. When we do mess up, we need to go to that person and say, I made a mistake. I'm human. Because not doing that can absolutely shatter somebody's perception of God. Parents, you are God's to your kids. They look at you that way. So when you treat them poorly, and you don't treat them with the love, you are that representation that they see. Many years ago, in a large church we went to, pastor's wife was having an affair. The whole situation was handled incredibly wrong, and I know one man that never really stepped foot back into a church. That was my dad. He was in the choir. He went to Bible studies. He had all kinds of relationships with people. Then nothing. I know my dad, and I know that had they handled it in a way where there was humility and remorse, instead of just trying to keep their position and power, he would have forgiven it and moved on. But they didn't. It was handled in a bad way, and it drove him away from that Christian family for good. Now, he still read his Bible. He still loved God. But the sweet fellowship and the growth that he could have enjoyed was gone. People are always watching. And the reality is that people are always watching because they want you to fail. If you fail, Christianity doesn't make you better than them. Let me say that again. If you fail, Christianity, your Christianity doesn't make you better than them. The absolute sad part of what I just said is that people are made to feel that way by Christians. Christians treat unbelievers as unclean lepers that haven't arrived yet. They're just not there. The unwashed masses who, if they only were as smart as you and knew the truth, they would have arrived by now, right? If the simpletons were just enlightened, then we could talk on a spiritual level. That's how Christians treat non-believers. Seriously. And then we wonder why they can't wait for us to fall on our faces. Sadly, we put ourselves on the pedestal we can't stand on. You know what? And we eventually fall, every single one of us. Simple demonstration in that instance is how do we handle it? It's much easier to not place ourselves on anything, because you know what? You're not standing on nothing. It's a lot harder to get knocked off of it. Demonstrate humility and people forgive the humble. Lastly, in verse 5, says again, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Simply put, men fail us. We were talking about this in Awana the other night. Did you know? I had to look this up. In this book right here, there are 3,237 characters mentioned in this book. Okay? Did you know that 3,236 of them sinned at one time or another? The only one that didn't was God. So, who do we put our faith in? Sadly, most of us still put it in man. But it should be God. And we have three choices here as I wrap up on who we follow. We can follow someone we look up to, we can follow ourselves, or we can follow God. Too many people put faith in other men or women. We admire them because they're good at something, or they can throw a football, or sometimes it's as shallow as they're just good looking. Think about Saul. Saul was literally made king because he was the tallest, most good looking guy. We laugh at that now, but the reality is we would still do that today. We totally would. We put faith in them for all kinds of reasons. The most common is that we can relate to them. I can relate to most of you people in this room. I just can. We can see if we try hard, we can do that, or we can be like those other people, right? I mean, if I aspire really good, I can throw a football 50 yards, and I can do this, I can do that. I can kind of be like that person. So that's how we look at it. That's how we admire people. If we only had their money, right? I mean, geez. Well, I can get a job. I can make money. We can do these things. But in the end, when we admire people, what do? They let us down every time. People always, I will let you down. I'm going to tell you right now. Some point, somehow, I'm going to let you guys down. Greg, I already have. So the other option is we can just rely on ourselves, right? I mean, we definitely relate to ourselves, and we're pretty good. Just ask us. We know we're good looking, right? I mean, people spend all kinds of time in the mirror looking at themselves. Fellowship in my brain is always perfect because I'm always right when I'm asking me questions. Right? And who needs accountability when we have us? We wouldn't mess up. And who's better to answer our own problems? My dad, he used to always make me laugh because he'd be walking around and just kind of mumbling like that. And I'm like, are you talking to yourself? He goes, the only one that knows the best answers. There you go. And here's the cool thing, is I know for a fact that I've walked a mile in my shoes. I can relate to me. There's nobody that's ever going to relate to you better than you, right? The last option, though, is the one that's always overlooked. And mostly because he's unrelatable, and that's God. You know, we think about it and we go, God doesn't understand what I'm going through. God doesn't get my needs. Is he even paying attention to me? Look at all I'm going through. We try to put our faith in the wisdom of men, not understanding that God knows everything. It's like we forget, oh yeah, hold on. He's just the creator of the universe and everything in it. He doesn't know anything. You know, I'm just going to go ask my buddy Mike, because I'm sure he knows the answer. Right? The funny thing is, we keep going back to Mike. We keep going back to our people. Instead of going back to God and going, what am I doing here? We keep going back to our friends because we relate. Simple faith is that we trust God with everything. I was just talking with my son about this yesterday on our little mini trip. You know, Christians have a lot of struggles. We do. Do you know why? Mostly because we struggle with God. If we just handed most of our stuff to him, we wouldn't have these issues. But the simple solution is we give it to him, but we don't. Why? Because we want to fight for who's in control. Well, yeah, God, I'm going to give you this part, but yeah, I'm going to keep doing this because I got this. I got this under control. And it's a struggle. Struggle with it all the time. People struggle with addictions because they want to hold on to what they hold on. I asked the kids at Awana the other night, and this was funny. I said, how would you feel if Christ forgave 98% of your sins? You get to still walk around with the 2% of guilt, shame, all that stuff. You walk around with that. But 98% of you is good, right? That's how we treat God. Well, I'm going to give God like 98%, but I'm going to hold on to this over here because I really like doing this. And that struggle is God going, knock it off. We don't do that, though. Simple faith says, it's yours, Lord. The harder part is, I'm yours. When we say, do with me what you will, we'll accept this or that, right? I don't really want to go down that road. I mean, there's people over there. It's funny when we talk at Awana with the kids. You know, I got like 12, 13, 14-year-old kids in there. And they're at an age where they're brutally honest with you. I mean, they will tell you. So you ask them, you know, well, as a Christian, you know that you're supposed to tell other people about Christ. Yeah, but they're going to talk, you know, they're going to think I'm weird. They'll tell you that. We as adults, we don't give it all. They don't give it all. We example them how to not give it all. Really, we do. There is a struggle, but really, it's simple. At least the answer is. Doing it my way may be harder, but I promise you, the more you give it to Him, the easier it is for us. That's just a fact. Fear is struggle. Fear is holding on to it ourselves. We witness, like it or not, we witness to people every single day. Paul's exhortation to us is to keep it simple. We speak to them in a way that they understand. We do it with humility and with grace. We demonstrate our lifestyle of being a Christian without shoving it down their throats and acting like we are better than them. We show simple faith in God. Our example does not have to be perfect. Our example does have to be open and honest.
There you go. Amen.
When we mess up, we own it. We ask for forgiveness from them and from God. And it's not about how we look to them. It's about how they see God when they see us. Simple is how Paul explains it. Simple is how Jesus explained it. So we need to not make it complicated. It really is simple. Next week, we're going to go into Paul making it more complicated. He does. Well, next week, he talks about how to deal with people as they grow in the faith. And it is a little bit more complicated. We'll get through it. But it is important for us to know, again, we're all at different stages in our walk. And we have to teach people where they're at. It's really just that basic. So let's stand up. We'll pray. Do you have another song?